Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, with a number three, thethirdingredient.com. Tom Anastasi is our guest. TomAnastasi.com is how you find him. And you can, also, folks, those of you who've been listening to the show and listening to Tom's interviews with me, know that for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, he's been working on a full-length film project called Spin the Plate. Tom, you talked to us about it way back in the early, very early days when it was just almost a gleam in your eye. Your wife wrote the story, the book, and the screenplay, and now it's a full-length movie, and you can buy it on Amazon.
Yep. It's an
award-winning film, too, by the way, folks. Go ahead.
It is. It is, and it's been absolutely just a wonderful thing, and we've got our final festival in Arlington, Massachusetts next month. And we've had between Vimeo and Amazon, Prime Video Direct, who had over 1,000 people stream the movie, which has been absolutely wonderful.
SpinThePlate.com is how you find it. It's how you look it up on Amazon or Vimeo. Tom, congratulations. I'm so proud. As you know, I mean, I've been you serialized the whole story on my show for all these years. Let's get back into our decision-making discussion. We've been talking, folks, about how to go from you making all the decisions of your company to making sure that your stakeholders, your employees, your team members in your organization are helping you with decisions. And James Surowiecki wrote a book called The Wisdom of Crowds, Tom. And the research he did was that if you put 5 PhDs in a room and give them a problem, and then you go to another room, you put 3 PhDs and 2 high school graduates with those 3 PhDs. The ones with the high school graduates will produce a better result, a better decision than the 5 PhDs, because there was diversity, there was the wisdom of crowds, and that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
It is, and again, diversity is huge. And because one of the things we know is that the more diverse a group is, the smarter the group is going to be because of their life experience.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, and this perspective they come to. I mean, I'm working on a project right now with a bunch of really, really smart technical people. And we couldn't do without them, but they cannot explain what they have to say to regular people. That's my job. I literally have to be the Rosetta Stone between these geniuses and regular people who are the people who have to write the checks. You've got to have...
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I mean, and you go into a lot of organizations like that, you know, that is very common, for instance, in engineering organizations.
Yeah.
Where they have these brilliant people, but as far as explaining things, they can explain it to each other, but not to people like me, but people like me are the customers.
But that's why what Tom was talking about earlier, folks, is you can't let people who are not aggressive, not strong personalities, like talk show hosts are, Tom, and professors, you can't let people who are not like that not contribute. Because here's what you have to tell yourself: well, wait a minute, I hired them for their brain. Why am I not getting anything out of their brain? You have to say that. Look, John. Look, Sue. I hired you for your smarts. I need to hear about your smarts. What do you think? What do you think about that, Tom?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is this is the organizational behavior of Santa Claus, because when you ask John or Sue, what do you think? I really want to know. You are going to get amazing stuff. They've been thinking about this for weeks or months, and they've just been dying for someone to ask them. And as soon as you give that permission, you are going to get great, great, great stuff. And they're going to be more supportive of the company, and they're going to look at it as a form of non-monetary compensation. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win-win-win-win-win deal.
Oh, yeah.
I've never not gotten great stuff when I've allowed people to speak that otherwise wouldn't, and really encourage them for their opinions.
It's also what I call the E.F. Hutton scenario, Remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials?
Young people won't remember that.
Yeah, somebody they're in this the commercial, folks. If you don't know it, they're in this restaurant, and all of a sudden, two people over in the corner, one of them says, "E.F. Hutton thinks," and everybody in the whole restaurant stops and listens to what E.F. Hutton thinks. It's a financial company, anyway. So if sometimes the loud mouth in the meeting talking all the time. All of a sudden, here comes this one employee, this one person who never says anything. When they say something, it's really profound. It's really smart. And when they speak, people listen. And in fact, I've seen it where the whole meeting is culminated and pivots around what's said at the end by this E.F. Hutton person.
Correct. Absolutely. And because remember, when people are not talking in a meeting, it's not because they don't have something to say. It's just because they don't know when to jump in. Maybe they're introverts, but again, they're thinking about things. They're coalescing. Mm-hmm. They're really involved. They're just not speaking.
But the trick, again, as we said earlier, the trick with those folks is to find the way to get them to give you what they know, what they think, what they've learned, in a way that they're comfortable doing it. It might not be in that meeting. You might have to help them get to the point where they can speak up in a meeting, but you know that here's the thing: if they don't have anything to say, then you hired the wrong person. What do you think, Tom?
Oh, absolutely, but you know that's really rare because when people are working someplace, you know, thousands of hours a year, right. They've got opinions.
Exactly.
They've got opinions, and usually they're pretty pretty strong opinions.
Unlike you and me, right, Tom? They got opinions. Hey, Tom. Thanks for being here. Good job today. Come back soon.
Of course.
Tom Anastasi, ladies and gentlemen. Put a .com on the end of his name and you find him online. We'll get him back another day. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.